Hi, and welcome to this edition of the Talking Data Podcast. I'm Ed Burns from Search Business Analytics, and I'm here as usual with Jack Vaughn from Search Data Management. And this is the second in our series recapping the recent Rework Deep Learning Summit, which was held in Boston, Massachusetts. And so we saw some pretty big thinkers when it came to the world of deep learning, and they gave us some pretty interesting perspectives. And one thing that Jack was watching at the show was the issue of where data preparation comes into deep learning, which is a pretty interesting idea. I mean, it's not something that I had ever really thought about in my previous coverage of deep learning. You know, we think all about these wild algorithms that can do all these crazy things, and that's pretty exciting. But what about the legwork that it takes to get there? And that's where data preparation comes in. So, Jack, what did you learn about how data prep comes into deep learning?
Well, it's still a bit of a moving target, but in a way, data preparation here merges with processing. It's a pre-processing that has to happen, and it can vary depending on the data, depending on the problem. Machine learning, which preceded deep learning is a subset of the original machine learning. Machine learning elements are used to prepare the data for deep learning. So it's a different type of processing than all but a few people are really familiar with. We did have a nice chance to see quite a few interesting people at the conference talking. One of them that I met was Sam Zimmerman. He's a CTO of Freebird, and this is a mobile booking service that offers tools for trying to estimate the chances that a flight can be delayed or canceled. And there's risk involved for them because they will rebook your flight for no charge if something untoward happens, as it often does. And they use deep learning to estimate. It's not flight insurance, but it's in a way is a type of insurance that you're going to get where you're going. Zimmerman has been doing deep learning for quite a while. He had, besides talking about the use of machine learning versus deep learning and problem solving, he said that a key question that people have to ask when preparing data for deep learning is whether the data can fit in the available memory. And that goes a little further, is depending on the memory issues, an engineer can decide whether to run on a single computer or to run in a distributed manner. Much of what we talk about here with these days with Google and some of the big web companies related to deep learning is highly distributed systems, and of course Spark is one of those distributed system for doing machine learning. But if you don't have to go there, don't go there. One thing that Zimmerman said is that there's a lot more maturity to the established algorithms running on single machines, and that if you're going to run them in a distributed manner, your mileage may vary. Some assembly is required. The usual suspects ensue.
Mm-hmm. And so that seems like one of the central issues here when it comes to preparing data for deep learning. Obviously, the scale of data that we're talking about is huge here, and so a distributed system is probably going to be able to handle that better. But then at the same time, it sounds like you're saying that the tools for doing deep learning that are more mature at this point are sort of single machine software programs. So how can we sort of bridge that gap between the maturity of the tools and the need to go to a distributed environment?
Well, I don't want to cop out, but it's still more an art than a science, even though it's called data science. So I think, you know, people are finding this out. That's why shows like this, conferences like this have so much value, is because you learn from your colleagues, from their mistakes as well as their successes.
So what else at the show caught your eye? Anything else that you found interesting?
Well, quite a lot. I mean, we recommendation engines seem to be an essential element in a lot of the applications around deep learning and machine learning. A data scientist from Spotify, David Murgatroyd, had a very interesting discussion of how that company uses deep learning to inform its recommendation engine, and also how important recommendation engines can be to a company like Spotify. Basically, in another thing I picked up on, in Mary Meeker's review of the Internet in 2017, there was a note that Spotify is saying, looking at the results, that from 2014 to 2017, they've had a 40% increase in the number of artists that people listen to per week, and they pretty much put that to the success they've had with recommendation engines. I know as a user, they do help me to listen to more artists than I might on my own. They estimate that at this point in 2017, users listen to 41 artists per week. I guess that must be an average. And so you put that to the recommendation engine that you've built using deep learning to figure out what people would like. And as a side note here, I'd say I've seen Pandora in a Hadoop conference talk similarly. And one of the problems they have is trying to, they felt, was to try to feed stuff that is not totally expected. So you want an engine that doesn't just regurgitate what people have said they like and know they like, but something that might surprise them a little. And then if you're off, you tune it as you go along to say how badly you're off. But you have to take chances in the recommendations you made.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that I thought was really interesting about his presentation too was I covered this in a story that I wrote after the show. He talked about how they had been doing this recommendation engine for a little while and they weren't really getting very good engagement from their users, and so then without changing the underlying recommendation model, they just made a change to the user interface and got huge increases in user adoption. And so basically all it was that prior to the change, users had to select what they wanted to listen to from a list of recommendations. But now the change is they just make you a playlist and all the user has to do is hit go. So yeah, I think it just kind of goes to show that sometimes it's not all about the algorithm. Sometimes it's about other things like the design of the functionality itself. And so this is all some stuff that we talked about on our first in this series recapping the Deep Learning Summit. So to listeners who are interested in hearing more about that, don't forget to check out the first in the series.